Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Now today we're going to take a look at new that continues to reveal that almost 60% of sampled stores in South Africa are selling illicit tobacco products, with prices as low as 5 rand for a pack of 20 cigarettes. Yeah. You let us know. But anyone who has done their maths and understands the implications of sin taxes knows that this essentially would be illicit cigarettes and, of course, would impact the taxpayer or tax coffers in terms of lost revenue. We want to hear your thoughts on this one. Illicit cigarettes, how do we stop the trade? Are there ways of managing it? Have you witnessed and experienced ongoing illicit trade? Maybe you purchase the 2 rand loose cigarette because... yeah, that's all you can afford due to some of the pressures, and if there are alternatives to make sure that we find a way of balancing this in the South African economy. Share your voice notes on 063-688-0959. But our guest this evening is going to give us some insight into this report and, most importantly, help us understand how business, together with government and members of civil society, are looking to manage this particular scourge. Johnny Moloto, Area Head of Corporate and Regulatory Affairs at BAT Sub-Saharan Africa, joins us now to tell us more. Mr. Moloto, such a pleasure to touch base with you again.
Thank you, Kuku, for the opportunity. A pleasure to be with you again.
It's always insightful when we speak to you because you help us understand the context of the environment within which your business operates. I guess looking at the conversation we had earlier this year on the 27th of March and previous conversations, it does seem as though the scourge of illicit tobacco products has just accelerated post the pandemic.
That is actually true, Gugu. And these are studies, as you mentioned, that we spoke to you about an earlier version we did. And we subsequently did a follow-up version, this time focusing rather than on the total size of the illicit trade, but focusing on retailers that actually store illicit, particularly in the informal sector where we know that this problem is prevalent.
And let's talk about the research. Almost 60% of the sample stores in South Africa are selling illicit tobacco products. I saw a tweet here where someone actually said they wouldn't be surprised if it's higher. But maybe let's focus on the report and the numbers and where these retailers are, how much they're selling them for, and how they, I guess, they secure the goods.
Yes. I mean, these are stores that it was a nationwide sample of 4,500 stores that covers your corner shops, bazaars, and table shop. And basically, the researchers that are employed by Ipsos go in and ask for the cheapest cigarette pack they have, regardless of the brand, and they don't necessarily focus on manufacturers, but it's the outcome that spits out who produces these products. So to your question then, how do the retailers acquire these? These are essentially homegrown products. These are all local manufacturers. And as I said earlier on in the year, is that ours is a homegrown problem, and these products are sourced largely locally, and a very tiny portion of that smuggled from across the border. So, and what we have seen consistently is that, you know, is the usual suspects. It's the same companies over and over that keep on coming up through this research. And at the bottom level of the market, you see them, you know, shifting positions from time to time, competing in a what we can regard as a price war.
And let's talk about the price war here and just how significant the differential is.
Yeah. So if you look at on an annual basis, the Minister of Finance will up the excise rate based on inflation and other factors that National Treasury considers. And this is what is called the minimum collectible tax. It's at 25.05. So that means since excise is a consumption tax, even before you release the product to market, you already collect the excise on behalf of the revenue authority, which we then hand over based on how much volume you've sold. But if you see products selling as little as 5 rand, there is no way you could even consider that a loss leader. It simply means that you have other means of production that you either under-declare or you don't declare at all to the revenue authorities. Hence, you can be able to sell at such cheap prices because there is no way when you've paid tax for the products, you've not included retailer margins, all the necessary distribution costs that you can afford to run a business like that for a sustained period, as I already indicated, that we've seen the usual suspects year in, year out, in these studies that we commission.
Naturally, for them to have the sustained level of sales and even growth in terms of the number of retailers in the sample, this means that they have a market, Johnny. Have you been able to substantiate what's driving the growth in this space?
Look, I mean, we all know that, you know, the economy for the past few years has not been performing at the level that it's supposed to, high unemployment rates. So you have a very stretched consumer that is very vulnerable. And, you know, when it comes to a situation like that, you know, it's a captive market where these unscrupulous manufacturers know that, you know, there is that market that's available that they can constantly exploit, and they make these products available. And when the consumer has no other alternative, they think it's a good deal. But as the commissioner said, the problem is if you consume these products, you buy the products, you yourself become complicit in this criminality.
I do see that in the report as well, you do refer to a number of brand names. And I'm assuming that we can mention a few of them, just that we're able to educate our listeners as well, to be able to identify them. Because someone might say, as you say, Johnny, and literally, you know, just take it without looking at the brand and considering the pricing. But help us contextualize if there's a familiarity in terms of the branding, the name, and of course, price, as you've mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, the researchers will go into a store not asking for any particular brand. They'll just say, just give me your cheapest brand that you have. Mm-hmm. And based on that, then, you know, then there will be that collection that shows you which are the brands that sell the cheapest, and then by which manufacturer. When the data analysts then crunch the data, it will spit out what we see. Then these are products that come from the manufacturers mentioned, like Gold Leaf, Afrobeck, Carnelings, and Best, as well as brands like, you know, Chief. That is what's seen in the last couple of months, say, from about last year. And that is a recent addition to the Gold Leaf portfolio that is selling well below the minimum collectible tax of 25 rands. So in the research itself, the full document, which we've put online as well, it shows you all the brands and what price points they sell.
This obviously comes at a significant cost to the National Treasury, given that you mentioned the excise duty of 25 rand 5 cents. So in other words, if anyone is buying a pack of cigarettes for less than that price, it is essentially illicit because you aren't paying over taxes to government. How much does the research allude to in terms of estimated losses?
So we're currently looking at around 24 billion that's lost. I heard the commissioner talk about a number of between 15 and 18 billion, but that is also an issue of how you size the market. You know, we size the market at around 36, 37 billion sticks available annually.
Sure.
And that is based on other research that we've conducted, you know.
Is that
for
both
a number
legal
of years
and illicit cigarette sticks?
So of that portion, you have a portion that is accounted for. About 24 billion is not accounted for. Mm. And so basically you can look at it on a one-to-one that, you know, for each and every stick of cigarette, you have a rand that translates into the 24 billion. And then the delta of that is what the manufacturers declare. So even the manufacturers that are regarded as illicit, they do have a certain portion that they declare just to legitimize their operations, but then the rest they under-declare or hide from the revenue authorities. And this is why we call, you know, for proper forensic audits on all manufacturers. And we've always put ourselves first in line and say, come to our factory, we'll open the books for you. But we also like the idea that the commissioner mentioned yesterday that, you know, with these guys hiding, what do you have to hide when you don't want CCTV cameras? Probably also look at a combination of also having physical presence at the factories, which we did see happening in the tail end of 2018 into early 2019. And that led to an uptick, actually, in revenue collections and an upward movement of pricing to be more compliant. Yeah.
I'm glad that you mentioned that there is an element of disclosure that is required. Open up the factories. Let's see how many sticks you manufacture and distribute. And if that equates to the taxes that you are also contributing. I'm glad that you mentioned SARS, and of course, industry players are working together here. But what are we seeing in terms of law enforcement? Because that seems to be the Achilles heel in this equation.
I mean, you make a very good point. I mean, SARS is the primary law enforcement authority in this regard because this is basically a tax evasion issue. However, SARS on its own could never be able to resolve this problem from an enforcement point of view. Hence, we say that firstly, they would require more resources from Treasury to be able to invest in the type of capabilities that they will require to be best in class to do this. So, and we've constantly called for this to say that the only way you can do this, look at it as a return on investment. You know, you put money in order to get results. If you don't do that, you will never be able to tackle this problem. But secondly, the point that you make, so if we look at the police, for example, time and again, we would see some seizures or raids that have been conducted. But the police themselves are not really that equipped to be able to understand the intricacies of tax evasion, what excise is, how much is payable. So that's why we're calling for a minimum retail price, which we'll say, for example, the University of Cape Town has put it at around 32 rands. They say that if you sell anything below 32 rands, that product cannot trade at a commercially viable or a viable price, you know. So therefore, what we are saying, if you put a price across the board that says anything below this is illicit, then it also allow people like officers from the South African Police Service to just say anything below that price, you just seize, no questions asked, and no explanation required that that product is illicit. So you set a floor price essentially and say anything below that, you just seize and you know you bring the people that sell those products to book. And I think that will be a very significant deterrent and a powerful tool in the hands of other law enforcement authorities. Even a metro police could be able to seize without, you know, having to understand the complexities of how excise works.
100%. And then that needs to be followed up with prosecution, which is a whole other aspect as well that needs to be followed up on. I'm assuming that you engage. Sorry, you wanted to mention something there, Johnny?
No, I'm saying actually that's a very important point because, you know, we always forget that, you know, enforcement doesn't end at the point of seizure and arrest. You need to be able to be able to deter these unscrupulous players to desist from their activities. You need to actually have high-profile people in jail. And that's the only way you deter them from continuing these activities. I mean, this is now, since about 2010, this has been going on. And each and every year, you have more and more entrants getting into the field because they know that it's a free-for-all. The authorities, you know, either are incapable or, you know, unwilling to do something about this.
100%. To close off with Johnny, playing devil's advocate here, as we know that some of these players are your competitors essentially in the market. And I'm keen to understand as a business if you're able to disclose, number one, the quantity of taxes that you pay and contribute to the South African economy, but also if there's preventative measures that you're also implementing to minimize the scourge of illicit trade in the country. And even perhaps when it comes to e-cigarettes, because that's also been a growing sector and trend.
Yeah, I mean, before COVID, we used to contribute upwards of above 10 billion rands a year just in excise collections. Now that is significantly reduced. I mean, as our volumes have declined like 40%, so have your collections or your contributions. So that is a significant amount to the economy that is lost without any. We used to consider ourselves a market leader. And we would set, you know, the tone in terms of how much is contributed towards the revenue authorities. But that is now a drop in the ocean. And that also means as the viability of our business also is under, you know, serious question. Because as you decline in terms of your volumes, similarly, you decline in terms of, you know, your ability to sustain your operations. That means you lose employment. That means you are not able to actually produce profitably. And that means all sorts of other consideration about the future of your business. In that case, if currently we are saying under 30% of the market is legitimate, that simply means that what you have left in a few years' time would be gone and you'd have a 100% illicit market. You know, that's a ghastly scene to contemplate. But at the rate things are going, it's just a one-way street. It is a real possibility when you look at how the curve has been like sharp decline since the sales ban in 2020.
100%. Johnny, we appreciate you giving us some insight, educating us into the market, and I guess also giving us a clear warning for our listeners and consumers who happen to be smokers, that anything that is priced, I guess, well below what, 25 rand, 5 cents, or 32 rand, ultimately would be illicit content when it comes to cigarette trade. Thank you again.
That's true. Thank you. Thank you always for the opportunity.
Thank you. Johnny Muloto, Area Head of Corporate and Regulatory Affairs for BAT Sub-Saharan Africa. Share your voice notes with us, 0636880959. I'd like to get your thoughts as well on what it is that we see within the realm of illicit cigarette trade. Do you buy? You don't have to tell us who you are, but help us understand why you buy. Are there particular brands that you stick to? Are you aware that by buying and purchasing illicit cigarettes that you're contributing to a bigger problem in the economy? And perhaps, how best do you evaluate that we manage the concern and the scourge of these syndicates? It's one thing to have competitors raise alarm bells as well as submit research and reports to help us understand the industry better. We certainly see SARS coming on board with tighter controls. Of course, some level of action in terms of arrests, but prosecution certainly needs to come on board.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.